when I first started, I was trying to get PBs every time. And surprise, surprise, why I started getting injured so quickly.
Diz Runs Radio, episode 609 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's episode, just want to thank DKMS for their continued support of the podcast and of the show. DKMS is an international organization that is all about helping to rid the world of blood cancer and various other blood disorders. It's I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like blood cancer is one of those cancers that maybe doesn't get as much press, doesn't get as much lip service and attention as some of the other cancers. And it's not like one cancer is better or worse or different. I mean, they're all different, of course, but cancer is cancer. And most all of us have been impacted on some level by cancer. You know, some family, friend, somebody that we know has you know, battled, hopefully won, potentially lost the fight with cancer. And there's so many people that are fighting the fight against blood cancer. And what DKMS does to try to help solve that problem is they've kind of helped to create a database of folks that are willing to potentially be a bone marrow donor, which for a lot of folks, that's their opportunity to live a long and prosperous life. If you've got blood cancer or other blood disorders, a bone marrow transplant is what they need. And so what you can do to support the cause and to potentially save a life is to head over to DKMS.org and request a free swab kit. And what they'll do is they'll send you a kit in the mail. You use the cotton swab to you know, brush along the inside of your mouth, along your cheeks, and you send it right back. All postage paid, costs you nothing, takes just a few seconds, and then you get entered into the database. And if you become a genetic match, if you're found to be a genetic match of somebody who's battling blood cancer or other blood diseases, DKMS will contact you about potentially being a marrow donor and potentially saving a life. So if you'd like to find out more information, head over to DKMS.org, get yourself that free swab kit, and you can also text the word amazing. That's AMAZING to 50555. Thanks once again to DKMS for their continued support of the podcast. And thank you guys for supporting the sponsors, because the more you support the more the sponsors support me, and the more that the show then can continue to grow and hopefully improve. And that's the goal around here. So thanks to you guys, and thanks once again to DKMS for supporting the show. And now, let's go ahead and dive in to today's episode. Hey guys, as we all know, the running community really has no boundaries. Anywhere that there's runners, there's community, and thanks to the internet, of course, the community spans all the way across the globe. And today's guest, as it were, actually lives on the opposite side of the world from me. So, you know, because of the internet and connectivity, there's nothing that says we still can't get together and have a few, you know, go a few easy miles and have a good chat, right? So that is exactly what we are going to do today. My guest has been running for a few years now, and in that time, he's seen several finish lines of varying distances, but he's also dealt with a few injuries along the way, which, you know me, you know I love to talk running injuries, so we'll probably have to dive into that a little bit at some point. And additionally, as if all of us don't have enough to do, earlier this year, he also launched a new podcast, which is titled Everyday Running Legends, and I was honored enough to be a guest on the show back in July. So if you haven't caught that episode yet, make sure you go and check that out. We'll make sure to have the link in the show notes for today's episode. Obviously, you know, just from that little bit of an intro, there's going to be no shortage of things that we're going to have to discuss today. So without any further ado, let's get the party started by welcoming Mr. Brody Sharp to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Brody. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Danny. It's good to be on here. And congratulations for breaching that 600th episode as well.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It seems like it's been forever, but it also seems like I haven't been doing it that long. So, good Lord willing, you'll be joining me at the 600 mark at some point in the future.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But, anyway, guys, like I said, the title of the show is Everyday Running Legends. If you want to check out more about Brody, check out the show, check out the episode that I was on. EverydayRunningLegends.com is the website. Of course, you can find Everyday Running Legends. Just search it in the podcast app of your choice. Whatever you tend to listen to, it's probably there. And on the social medias, Twitter and Instagram, check out the handle at ERL Podcast to find out what Brody's up to and get links to the shows, you know, past episodes, current episodes, all that kind of good stuff there as well. And show notes for today's episode, disruns.com/609. If you anything that we talk about that you want to link to or check out, it'll be... Hold on, I got to sneeze. I'm going to have to edit this. Whew, all right. And then, of course, it just passes. But all right. So... show notes for today's episode, disruns.com/609. Anything we talk about today that you want to check out will be linked there as always. We'll have Ellen will have the write-up for the episode, and we'll have, like I said, everything linked up. My episode of Everyday Running Legends, and who knows what else we talk about, will be linked there, disruns.com/609. So, without any further ado, it is time to get into the fun stuff. And, you guys have been listening to the show long enough, you know where we're going to start. Brody knows where we're going to start. He's listened to a few episodes as well. And that's with a simple question. Maybe has a simple answer. We'll see. But it's just to ask Brody, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Okay. So from the episodes I've listened to already, I think it's a pretty common answer, but I'm going to go with the half marathon. Is that your most common? I'm not too sure.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I don't have a statistical analysis of it, but I don't think I need one. I think it's pretty, that probably gets about half of the answers, and then everything else gets a smattering of answers here and there.
Yeah, I think, okay, so to answer why, I think it's for my ability level, it's a good distance, not too grueling, but still be quite challenging. So it's something you definitely have to prepare for, and you're still going to get a decent level of, fatigue, and, it comes along with its own challenges. But I haven't competed in too many half marathons. I've actually backed off and done a couple of shorter races and just started participating in a couple of trail races at the moment. So I'm more getting into the scenery aspect of things rather than the actual distances. So it's been good fun, good variety.
Gotcha. And sometimes I kind of feel like that's almost the best way to go is to mix it up a little bit. And you might have, your race that kind of is your bread and butter distance, whatever that might be. But I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think if you get too locked into just always running, in your case, maybe the half marathon or somebody else, a marathon or a 5K or whatever, always running the same distance, it can get a little stale versus if you're trying some different things, maybe getting off the road, like you said, jumping on the trails a little bit, can really kind of keep things fresh and exciting. And then when you go back to whatever that one race is, it's even more special because it's not something that you're doing on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah. Keep the body guessing. It's good for variety. It keeps your muscles just like on edge, and yeah, it's good for just training to go back to your if you do have a standard running distance. It's good to put yourself out of your comfort zone and then go back to that and see if it's helped you for the better.
Yeah, and hopefully it does. How'd you get started in the sport, Brody? I know from the website that you haven't been running that long. It's been a few years. It's not like super recent, but it's not, at least I think, if I read things correctly, it hasn't been a lifelong passion. So how'd you find your way into the sport to begin with?
Yeah, good question. So I grew up playing basketball, and that was what I did, three, four times a week since I was 8 years old. And then I... went traveling. I went overseas. I visited your lovely country in Canada. And so I traveled US for 3 months, Canada for 3 months, and came back quite sluggish and quite didn't put on a lot of weight, but was very deconditioned. Mm-hmm. And at the time I got back, and my sister suggested we train for a half marathon. And I wasn't much of a long distance runner at that stage. I hardly did a 5K, 10K, nothing like that. And so, yeah, I thought, yeah, let's go for it. I need to get fitter again. So started running, and I think it was about 2 months in, I started really getting a knack for it. And, my calves stopped screaming at me every time I went for a long distance run. So when I first started running, it was at my parents' place, which is more of like bushland sort of nature-y sort of area. And I just loved getting out and getting some sunshine, seeing some nature, and just found a love for it. So, the love for the sport came quite quickly, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I know for myself and for a few folks, at least, it was much more of an acquired taste, where it was something you kind of did for a while and maybe you enjoyed it. Maybe you kind of did it for the fitness aspect, and eventually it grows on you. Any ideas why you think you took to it so quickly? Or was it just, like you said, I mean, kind of maybe just the fact of getting outside and some fresh air and sunshine that was just good for the soul?
Yeah, it's funny. I could probably pin it down to like one specific run where I just walked out of my parents' front door, and it was a beautiful day, obviously good weather in Australia. And it was like crisp morning, like sunny, and you're just taking a few deep breaths of fresh air. And yeah, I was just looking forward to the run. It was the first time I actually started looking forward to a run. And then when you're out there and you're looking at the wildlife and you're looking at like a rare runner come by and say hi and that sort of thing, it was, yeah, it sort of just like got me really motivated to start the day. And so, yeah, I think for those reasons, that's sort of why I fell in love with it. Listening to some music as well, every now and then, and sort of getting a bit of motivation that way, yeah, seemed to really help.
Gotcha, gotcha. How did that first race go for you? Was it everything you hoped it would be? Did it go pretty smooth, or was it a learning experience?
The first race. So I guess I started doing a couple of park runs, which was like a couple of 5K runs. They were just for fun. So the actual like first challenge I did was my first half marathon, which was July. So it would have been like 5 months into running. And just took it for fun. My training distances, I actually built up to around about that 20K mark. So never really hit that wall. I was actually feeling quite good. I think I finished in about an hour 41 and was totally like energized the entire day. Like loved the morning, loved the atmosphere. I was just like buzzing after the race. I felt like I found my calling a little bit, and even my mates just after the race were like, man, you feel like it looks like you can run another half marathon. I was just like so energized from the whole day. I was like, yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah. That always makes it a bit easier to get into the sport and enjoy it when, you know, not only are you doing pretty well, cause I mean, let's not kid ourselves. 141 for a half marathon for somebody who's been running for a while isn't a bad time for a lot of us. So that being the first one, kind of running it fairly easy, just enjoying yourself, is a pretty good time. Did you push beyond that at all shortly after that? Maybe go for the full marathon, or did you kind of hover around the half marathon, or how did running look, I guess, after that first half marathon experience for you?
Yeah, so going back to my sister when she was suggesting that we attempt the half marathon, that was actually going to be in October during the Melbourne Marathon event. And during my training, because I built up quite quickly to like 15K, 16K, 17K, that sort of thing, I was getting quite close to that half marathon benchmark, and I wanted to continue pushing myself throughout my training and not like sort of plateau and be like, oh, I've already reached that sort of distance, let me slack off a little bit. So I wanted something to push myself. So I told my sister, you know, when it comes to October, I might attempt the full marathon. And so July was a bit of a preparation, sort of like a stepping stone, I guess. But it was only going to be 3 months after that that I'd attempt my full marathon. And that's when reality kicked in and really like challenged my ability, because that hit me hard.
What was it that hit you so hard?
So I guess when I started getting into those greater distances, a couple of injuries would come up, and I couldn't really approach my training plan the way I wish I had. I didn't do enough really long distance stuff. So if we're talking in Ks, so like the marathon's 42K, I think I might have attempted one 30K run, and that would have been 2 weeks prior to the event, and everything else was sort of like between 20-25K, so not really approaching that full distance, getting that full workout. And would you know it, Denny, I reckon about the 30K mark was when I hit my wall. And I also, being like my first race to really push myself, I got a bit hyped up and I ran a bit quicker than I originally planned at the start, and so blew out very early. And the last, say, hour was just a grueling struggle of walking, jogging, trying to muster up a run. Yeah, it all fell to pieces very quickly, and I got a good reality check, which is good, which right. People need, you know.
Yeah, certainly. And for the Americans out there that don't speak metric, 30K is about 18 and a half, 18.6, something like that miles. So yeah, it's a good solid distance, But in terms of marathon training, you know, you usually would like to get a little bit more than that to really make sure you're ready to go. So so that race, obviously, like you said, didn't exactly go according to plan. You know, went pretty good as long as your training went. But as soon as you got kind of past that point, things became a struggle. Did you attempt a redemption race at all, or have you been one and done at the marathon so far?
I wouldn't say one and done, but it is my only attempt so far.
Okay.
With my training, I am one to just keep running until I'm injured, and then the injuries are what prevent me from doing what I want. So it's kind of like this little seesaw of, if I feel really good, I'll train quite hard and keep training until I'm injured again. And then the seesaw slowly tips the other way, and I have to restrict my running until I'm feeling really good again. And so I really have to consciously at this stage, like, peg back a little bit and only restrict myself to, if I'm feeling really good, only doing 3 runs a week, or, you know, doing some cross training, doing some gym, doing some bike, that sort of thing. Because following the marathon that I did, I actually started participating in a couple of triathlons as well, which really helped keep some variety going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you're saying that, I'm you know, kind of standing over here chuckling to myself, or shaking my head a little bit, maybe going, you know, and you're certainly not the only person who's done that. A lot of runners have learned that lesson the hard way. If you can't always be going hard all the time, because, you know, the next injury is not always that far away. But yeah, hopefully you can kind of figure out what the right balance is, whether it's, you know, easing down the number of days, maybe it's triathlon training, which we can get into that a bit more, whatever it is, because yeah, getting injured and taking time off to recover, then training hard again, it's not a good way to make a whole lot of progress when you're constantly going up and down the injury, like you said, the seesaw there. It's not conducive to continued progress over time.
I agree. And I think you need to sort of realize, if I take a step back and have a look at, you know, 6 months of my training, and I say, oh, look, okay, I have been going hard, but I've been injured, you know, 2 or 3 months out of that 6 months, it's not going to get me any carryover results. And I think this year, especially, I've started to realize the benefit of slow running and just working in some miles, and going consecutive week after week after week of not being injured, and just continuing that momentum, which I didn't know when I first started. You know, when I first started, I was trying to get PBs every time. And surprise, surprise, why I started getting injured so quickly.
Yeah, and it is one of those things that is so, I don't want to say counterintuitive, but that, you know, we think we want to run faster, we want to run farther, and that's what we need to be working on all the time. Like you said, going for those PRs, those PBs every time out, pushing ourselves so that we can get stronger, faster, whatever, to go farther. But you do too much of that, and the body responds by breaking down, which, you know, is not the best recipe for going faster. So if you can slow down a bit, run hard once in a while, you know, do those types of things, that you're starting to learn those lessons the hard way, which is good. But it's too bad that you had to kind of learn them through getting the injuries over time. But as I said in the intro, I'm an running injury kind of junkie, or maybe not junkie, but it's a passion of mine. My background is in athletic training and sports medicine, so I kind of, you know, have worked with runners in the past on injuries, and in a past life working with track and cross country athletes. So can I ask about some of the injuries you've dealt with? What kind of injuries have sidelined you over your few years of running?
Yeah. So the first time I started running, like I was saying, my calves were just absolutely screaming. I wouldn't say that's injury. I'd say that's sort of my calves just lacking endurance.
Right.
So they were very, very sore after almost every run for the first couple of months. But an old patella ligament started flaring up from my basketball days as soon as I started doing some hills and doing a little bit of sprint work. I did some strengthening and rehabbed that pretty well. And so it's probably been about 2 years since that's resurfaced, but dealt with a very, very long time of upper hamstring tendinopathy, which sort of started getting into once I got into my triathlons and had to come off a bike and then start some, because triathlons, they're not too long distance. You have to do some quite sprinty sort of stuff. And so stretching your hamstring into the cycling and then getting off the bike and having to do a decent sprint really loaded up the hamstrings a lot. So that stirred up my hamstring quite significantly, and it took me a good couple of months to actually rehab that properly. But since then, both hamstrings have been quite good. I have dealt with a very, very annoying heel pain, which didn't come out of training. It actually came out of my sister buying me some new work shoes, which I did not realize, but I was waking up with a lot of heel pain, and I'm like, oh, is it my training? Is it my running? You know, I've gone to minimalist style shoes. Maybe it's that. Haven't really changed my mileage that much, but after a couple of weeks, realized that one of my work shoes that my sister bought had a very subtle like steel bolts like sticking out from under the heel, and was getting and was like compressing my my arch right where I was getting that pain, and it's it wasn't strong enough for me to put on the shoe and be like, oh, that's sore. It was just sore. It was just that little subtlety that would stir it up throughout the day, and then would get sore the next morning. So quickly changed my shoes, but that really flared up, and that took me a good 4 or 5 months to get better. Wow. So, yeah. So I have to thank my sister for that one. Yeah. But at this stage in time, the last sort of 3 months, I've been relatively injury free, and, yeah.
Well, good. Slowly, well, good. Touch wood real quick, and then hopefully that injury bug kind of stays away. What was, you know, you mentioned triathlon a couple times, and what was it that pushed you in that direction? Was it the injuries, or was it a desire to mix things up, or why branch off into triathlon so early after getting into running for the first time?
Yeah, I guess. But while I was starting running, it was early days, a couple of months into me actually starting some running, I actually watched one of my friends finish a Ironman, and it was his first Ironman. He was quite emotional at the end, and I was just watching all these people finish and the big hype and that sort of thing. And all my mates were just flabbergasted, and so was I, the actual like feat that Ironmen go through and the distances. And I thought to myself, yeah, this is really cool. I think I might be interested in these sort of things. And so sort of promised to myself, I had a couple of cycling mates at the time. Once I finished my marathon, I was going to start getting into triathlons and start, you know, training for swimming and cycling. And I've never done those before. So always, I guess, looking for the next challenge. Really enjoying the cycling at the moment. Swimming, not my best suit, not really loving it at the moment. But I feel like I've tried a bit of everything. My passion is going to still be in with the running, so that's why I've kept going back to the running aspect of things. But yeah, to answer your question, I think it was just the passion for variety that sparked the triathlon sort of stream.
Gotcha. Do you think, and maybe the sample size isn't quite big enough yet, or maybe there wasn't enough experience before you got into triathlon to really you know, draw any firm conclusions, but do you think that kind of spreading the focus a little bit out over the various disciplines, even if your main focus is still going to be running, but doing some swimming, doing some biking, things like that, do you think that those have helped you as a runner, or kind of hard to tell for you?
I think it has, in ways that like the variety is so different. Like on a given week, you can do like a sprint session on the bike, or do hills on a bike, or do like a slow long ride, and then mix that up with a slow hill sprint run. Like it really just depends. And so you can listen to your body a little bit and see what you feel like on a day, but you can also have a really structured variety in your program as well. It's like, okay, when I was preparing for like an Olympic distance try, what I really loved was being like, okay, tomorrow what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a swim, and then I'm going to run after that, or then I'm going to do a bike session, then run after that, and then just trying to come up with these different combinations of things. I feel was really beneficial and sort of translated quite well into the actual running side of things, like because you're working, you know, different flexibilities, you're working different muscle groups, you're working different cardiovascular zones. So it's just all combined still, I found, benefited my my running performance.
Gotcha. I'm definitely a believer that, you know, being having a little bit of all around athleticism is good for us as runners. I think it's good for us as just humans in general, just being healthy in life. But you know, running, yes, it requires a lot of you know, time on the roads, on the trails, whatever the case might be. But a little bit of other stuff, whether it's pick up basketball, whether it's some soccer, whether it's triathlon, doing some other different disciplines and other different sports, I think it, in my opinion, for whatever that might be worth to anybody listening, I think it's always going to be something that's going to be better for you than not. It's going to do more help than harm, for sure.
Yeah, your opinion's worth a lot for me, just so we know.
Oh, well, good. I appreciate. So I guess what I'm saying then is definitely, you know, I think you're on the right track, and I think it's going to help you. I hope it's going to help you with some of the injury things too, because, you know, shore up some of those weak links, take a little bit of that stress off of the running all the time. I think that's going to be good for you. Do you have, you know, you mentioned that you watched your buddy finish the Ironman, and just how powerful that experience was for him and for everybody else that was at the finish line, and running their own races and finishing their own races. Do you have any inkling of stretching out your triathlons that long, or not at this point?
Definitely not this point, but it's in the back of my mind. I think the normal, if I get through a couple of years, slowly increasing my mileage without getting injured, mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'll look back in the last couple of years and learn from my mistakes, because I am one to love running so much that I overtrain when I'm feeling really good. And so if I peg myself back a little bit and learn from my past experiences, if I can go forward and, you know, go a couple of months or a couple of years like pain-free and sort of working on my mileage more and more, and I'm still enjoying it, then I might attempt something like a half Ironman. If I really enjoy that, then maybe going with the full, but we'll have to wait and see. It's yes. Still, it's still a goal of mine, but I think in the foreseeable future, maybe I'll just stick to the pain-free sort of goals that I have.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start anyway, is just stay healthy, worry about being healthy. Like you said, I mean, put a couple of good training cycles together in a row without any injuries before you start trying to add too much more to your plate. So I think that's probably a good strategy. One other thing that you mentioned early that kind of caught my attention, I wanted to come back to you real quick. You mentioned that kind of your first taste of running at your parents' house sounded like it was kind of more wildernessy, kind of trails type of running. Sounds like maybe you kind of got away from that a bit and have found your way back to the trails a bit more and doing some trail racing. If that's the case, if I'm putting the pieces of that puzzle together correctly, any idea what has drawn you back to a little bit more trail running of late?
Yeah, you're probably right in saying that. I'm a fan of like hills. I'm a fan of like nature. I'm a fan of like actually getting a bit of variety in terms of like your foot placement, like pushing off rocks and like finding some good stepping when you're running. I think that that variety in itself is good for a runner, instead of just like doing a very you know, repetitive sort of monotonous one step flat ground sort of thing. I think the body likes having a bit of that reaction time and changing of foot placement, that sort of thing. I kind of you know, gain a bit of energy with that surrounding as well, you know, being out in nature. So I think I always found a couple of trail races around, once I moved out of home, found a couple of trails around my house, but never really competed in any trail races because they're always a little bit further out from the city in Melbourne where I live. But yeah, I've sort of made the commitment now, and I've got a trail race series where there's five races within the series at the moment. We did the third race last weekend, actually. And I feel like there's a different you've got a different passion when it comes to the nature aspect of things, as opposed to like the competitive nature of like something like a half Ironman or a half marathon, those sort of like big crowds, you know, try and finish first, that sort of thing. It's right. A different sort of mentality that you have.
Yeah, and I want to dive into that a little bit more, and maybe even some of the comparison and contrasting game between what running is like here in the States and where a lot of the listeners are for our, at least the listeners of my show are from it, and what we kind of know and what things are like in Australia. But first, I want to take a quick second and pay a couple of bills and thank DKMS for their continued support. They've been a supporter now at DizRuns Radio for several months. And if you haven't heard about DKMS yet, if you're kind of new to the show or you tend to zone out when we do the sponsoring, pay attention for a second because they're a great company, an international nonprofit, really. So not even, I don't know if you want to call it a company, you can call it whatever you want. International nonprofit that has been helping people who are battling blood cancers and blood disorders all over the world for like the last 28 years plus. So they're not new and they're doing good work because there's a lot of folks. I can't remember the exact numbers. We've talked about them in the past. I'll probably have mentioned them at various points in other episodes. But the number of people that have blood cancers and blood disorders, it's you know, a lot more common, I think, than I recognize, at least. And maybe it's the same for you as well. And so if you're so willing that you'd be willing to kind of help fight the fight, that's one of the big things that DKMS does is they help to register bone marrow donors to help match up with folks who have a blood disorder and might need a marrow donation to potentially save their lives. So over the past 28 years, they've registered more than 8 million donors and have facilitated over 70,000 donations, which, like I said, those could very well be 70,000 lives that were saved because of those donations. So if you're willing to get yourself in the pool, to join me in the pool of potential donors, and who knows, maybe you have that opportunity to save a life as well, head over to DKMS.org and get yourself a free swab kit, which is what you'll need to get into the pool. Or text the word amazing, AMAZING, to 50555. And that'll get you all the information you need to find out more, get your questions answered, all that good stuff, and find out how you can help DKMS fight the fight against blood cancer and other blood disorders and diseases. So thanks again to DKMS for supporting the show. And more importantly, thank you for supporting DKMS and the work that they do. So, Brody, getting back to what you were saying there at the end, just before we cut in with that little, read for DKMS. You're mentioning that kind of the trail running kind of seems like it's a bit more laid back. It's just a different vibe than some of the road races, the triathlons, things like that you've experienced. And I feel like that's pretty similar situation to what kind of the comparison and contrast game between the road running and trail running communities here in the U.S. But I'd be curious to find out maybe some more things that maybe are similar or maybe aren't, or maybe quite different between U.S. running and running in Australia. So I don't have a great question other than to just kind of, you know, are there things that you're aware of that are maybe dramatically, we'll start with the same. What are some of the similarities from what you know of running in the States to here or from what running is like here in the States to what it is for you there in Australia?
Well, one thing I will say is that in general, like the running community, they're like that's exactly what it is. It's a community, and like I think so much everyone that has that same likability they're very friendly, they're very welcoming as a whole. When you get to trail races, that just goes up a notch or two. Like the vibe at the start of the race, everyone's sort of, like you said, laid back, easy going. You can have a chat with someone. They're happy like to talk and like encourage you and say, oh, good luck, you know. As soon as you're racing, there's a lot of camaraderie around. There's a lot of, oh yeah, keep going, you're doing well. There's a lot of pats on the back, there's a lot of high fives. And then, you know, it might get a little bit competitive towards the last little stint of the race if you're like, you know, trying to go toe and toe with someone. But everyone's all good mates by the end of it. I feel like everyone's, once you finish the race, everyone's talking, everyone's chatting. Oh, how'd you go? Well done. I saw you do this. And I haven't yet gained that same environment with a road race. I feel like maybe it's because the races are a little bit bigger, the hype is a little bit more serious. And everyone's just trying to get PBs, it seems that way. But that sort of just slight hostility towards the competitive road racing, I still haven't seen in trail races. And, you know, making friends and getting around a community, giving high fives, it like generates a good, you know, sense of being within yourself as well. And you're just walking away with a big smile on your face, and you're driving home with a big smile on your face. And do you feel that same vibe when you guys do trail races in the States?
I feel like it for sure. My you know, sampling of trail running is smaller than a lot of folks. I've done all of two trail races. I run on the trails a little bit more regularly than that, but I've only done two races. But yeah, I mean the first one, my first real trail race was an ultra, which is a whole nother, maybe a different type of vibe anyway. But it was, I mean, it was just, you know, like everybody's just standing around talking. Like there's nobody like, you know, right before the race, there's nobody like right on the start line, kind of lean forward, like they're ready to just take off and press their watch. It was like, you know, like I don't even remember like a horn to start the race. I mean, there may have been, but it was just kind of like, all right, let's go. And like everybody just kind of like, all right, let's go. And we just kind of like took off, no big deal. But yeah, I mean, people stopping and you know, stopping at aid stations and talking a bit more and not just blowing through it because every second matters, and hanging out at the end of the race and you know, drinking some beers and having the grill going and cooking some hamburgers and hot dogs and things like that. It was definitely a different vibe than any road race that I've done. That's for sure. And not like the road race, road runners and road racing community is a bad community, but it's just kind of that my brief experience there with trail running, it's a different level of just laid back, and like you said, everybody's cool and they'll talk to you, and you know, you run up to somebody, you talk to them for a bit, and then you know, one of you goes ahead and one of you falls behind a little bit, and then pretty soon you're next to somebody else and talking to them. It's a pretty cool atmosphere on race day when you're out on the trails.
Yeah, and I kind of compare those like the runners to the cyclists as well. And I feel like I've done a couple of triathlons where it just seems like people are just grumpy, like they're competitive and they're grumpy and they're like, they're sort of like yelling at people. And there's I feel like cyclists in general, especially like the middle-aged guys, cyclists, they sort of feel like they're entitled to certain things. And you know, the amount of people we see cycling that are smiling and the amount of runners you see that are smiling, there's just like, it's day and night. And so, with the road races and the trail races, yeah, I do think the trails kick it up a notch. But I do think running as a general community, doing the big marathons, there's still a good hype. Mm. There's still a good environment, but I don't think it really compares to what I've seen with the trail races.
Yeah, totally agree. When it comes to a big race in Australia, your Melbourne, your Sydney, things like that, the big city races, how many runners tend to show up at a big city marathon over down under?
Oh God, I'm not too sure. I think Melbourne Marathon they get around 10,000 or so. Okay.
No, that's a ballpark. I mean, so it's a pretty good number. But you know, not quite some of the, like New York City gets like 50,000 or something like that. So it's not that crazy, but still, I mean, 10,000, that's still a lot of people running through the streets of a city on one day.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm still yet to find a huge marathon to actually compare to. Maybe I'll need to do a New York or a Boston or something. I don't know. Does it like, if there's a difference between 10,000 and 50,000, I don't know how there's like, how you guys work with that mass of people in terms of like road closures and like starting times and all that sort of thing. It's it'd be quite unreal.
Yeah, I've never done New York. It's on my list of, I wouldn't mind doing it, but I'm not like gung ho. Like I don't have come hell or high water, I'm going to run New York one day. But from talking to folks that have done it and just from kind of learning a little bit about it, I mean, it's one of those races where like the first wave might start at 10 o'clock in the morning. But the second wave, or the final wave doesn't start for 3 or 4 hours afterwards. So it's just a constant flow of people all day. So it's a big deal in the city, but you're right. I mean, everything is shut down, all the roads and traffic and things like that. So, it's definitely, you know, you get that many people in that type of a city, and it's the circus comes. I mean, I guess the circus is in New York every day, but the circus really comes to town that day because just everything is so different. But I haven't experienced it. My biggest race, I think, was some of the Disney World races that I've done are in that kind of 15,000 to 20,000 range. I think that's about the size of the marathon. I've done that a few times, and it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people, but you know, once you get people started, and as long as you're not trying to start all 18,000 at one time, you know, you just kind of keep churning out wave after wave, and after, you know, about an hour, everybody's on the course, and it just kind of moves along from there.
Yeah, cool. Quick Google. So around 10,000 took place in the actual marathon, and around another 10,000 took place in the half marathon a couple of years back. So all in all, we're looking at around 20,000-25,000 with if you're combining all the distances, but they all start like, you know, in the same morning. So yeah, that's sort of like the massive the people we've got. Yeah.
That's certainly, and I don't mean to make it sound like that's not a big race here. That would be a very big race here. You know, not every race in the U.S. is the same size as New York or Chicago or Boston or things like that. So that's 10,000, and then when you add another 10,000 for the half, that's a busy race. That's a good highly attended race here too. So that's a good number. Probably pretty similar, other than we've got a couple of the outliers, the real big ones. But you know, for most of our big races, that would be probably right about the same size. What about some differences? What are some things that maybe, you know, you know already, or, you know, maybe some things that might be a bit more isolated to Australia as opposed to not being as much of a part of the running culture here? I'm thinking maybe things like support. How much, you know, support is there? Do you have to, especially maybe on the trails? Because like I mentioned, the trail races here, there's a lot of maybe not a lot, but the aid stations are great. Like, you can stop, they have water, they have food, they have all kinds of things for you. You can fill up your bottles if you're carrying water with you. Stuff a couple things in your pockets if you want to carry some food with you. is that been a similar to your experience there, or are you a bit more isolated on your own when you run a race in Australia?
I feel like I need a bit more of a sample size when it comes to my trail races. Like, at the moment, I've only participated in a couple, and they haven't really been endurance races to really, like, get a good vibe of what the aid stations are like and what foods and nutritions and all that sort of thing. And, what it's like, whether you're isolated or not. At this stage, I've stuck to the shorter distances. So, you know, crowds always a little bit more consolidated in certain areas. But from the interviews that I've been doing, you know, starting the podcast and everything, I do get a sense of like the Americans doing it very well in terms of like the spread that you guys have on the aid stations, especially when it comes to the endurance races. They sound, it's hard to believe that we would get that kind of quality and just that going to those extreme lengths in the aid stations. I don't see that happening in Australia, I don't think. But I'll let you know if I do an endurance race and we have like cake and beers. And I think someone said they have fireball shots during one of their endurance aid stations. So that sounds like something completely different.
I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. Obviously, every race is going to be different. Sometimes every aid station within the race, because I know some races they'll have, you know, various groups, you know, local running clubs or whatever will volunteer to host an aid station. And some of them, man, they go over the top. I mean, it's beers and it's drinks if you want them, or it's water and Gatorade. I mean, whatever, all the food you could possibly eat. I mean, it can be pretty intense at some of those aid stations. So yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. I feel like I've even heard some of those rumors. I can't remember the races, but I feel like I've heard that there's, you know, if you want a shot, we've got shots for you too. So rock and roll, whatever you need.
Yeah, if it's cold and if you want to keep warm.
There you go. So you mentioned, you know, some of the folks you've talked to on the podcast. That's a great way to segue into the podcast. So Everyday Running Legends, still a new show, a new-ish show. It's been out for, if my math is correct, you know, four or five months, something like that at this point.
Yeah.
What was the impetus to start the show? Why decide to, you know, get a microphone and start talking to some people and learning some stories from different runners around the country and around your country and around the world as well?
Yeah, sure. So I quickly developed a passion for running, obviously. I just wanted to surround myself in that running environment as much as I could. I'm a physical therapist as an occupation, and as soon as I get a runner that comes in, my eyes just light up, and all I can do is just talk about running and trying to get them better, trying to get them rehabbed, get them back on the track as soon as I can. I did start a Facebook group for our local Melbourne community called the Voice of Melbourne Runners. That generated a lot of momentum extremely quickly, and a lot of times on several occasions there was people coming up to me and suggesting maybe you should start a podcast. And I already had the in the back of my mind had the idea of doing so, but once people started suggesting it to me, it just gathered some momentum, and I started pretty much within a couple of weeks of someone suggesting it to me. So kept that momentum going, and I could not have imagined in my wildest dreams the amount of like quality and yeah, just the absolute juggernauts that I'm interviewing. I could not have imagined it. I thought, you know, to start off, I'd interview some like local people, but very, very quickly I started getting some amazing quality speakers that just blew my mind, and it's still trending today. So it's been unreal.
Yeah, it's for me, it's obviously something I've enjoyed doing long enough that I've made it to whatever we're at, 600 and something episodes and over 4 years. And I hope that you continue to enjoy it for well into the future as well. So, I hear the title of the show, Everyday Running Legends. So it kind of, to me, says, you know, maybe not the people that are, you know, the elites of the elites today, but people that have done something big, whether it's a crazy, you know, ultra marathon distance or some epic challenge, or somebody that's had a great performance that kind of came out of nowhere, something like that. If I'm on to kind of the theme of the show, or that's kind of what you're going for, where did that idea come from? Of that's the kind of show that you wanted to create?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep the I guess the original purpose of the podcast alive. I was looking at, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and that's sort of what got me started as well. And I listen to a lot of running podcasts and bringing on guest speakers, bringing on professionals, bringing on coaches, athletes that all have their own wisdom to share. I feel like there's a lot of that out there already, and hadn't really found a dedicated podcast where people are just sharing their stories instead of their tips and tricks and that sort of advice. So I wanted to create something that had a bit of a personal vibe to it, and them just telling a really inspirational story, and having any listeners who are struggling to get some motivational inspiration when it comes to running to listen to their stories and just be revitalized and feel like they're you know, just spark that little passion to continue running, or just get out and do that run for the day if you want to listen to one of those stories. And we do have a lot of like origin stories. I try and find people on social media and out there around the world who are just starting out and doing like a couch to 5K, or like I had Drew Diamond on a couple of weeks back, who's gone from just jogging from the couch and now is trying to work his way up to an ultra. And we're just we're following him through that, and he's talking through what his training's like. But then I'm trying to get a bit of variety. So I had a lady, Jane, who does tower running, and she like specifically niches in just doing runs up and down skyscrapers. It's really crazy. And and there's a couple of like funny episodes in there. There's a couple of like really like tragedy bound, like people in car accidents and things who have found their way back to the running track and found running as an inspiration and like a recovery aspect of things. So I'm trying to delve into a lot of different niches in a way, which is, been very well received for the listeners as well.
Good, good. What has been your experience with the show so far? I mean, obviously you're enjoying it enough that you're continuing to go, but do you feel like I don't know, like it's something that you're kind of really finding your groove now and getting into? Do you feel like the show's evolved at all over the last 4 or 5 months? How are things going from your perspective as the host?
I'm always trying to work on my interviewing skills and trying to create my personality into the podcast as well. I feel like it's still like early days to have a real like major shift in the podcast to what I think it should go to. It's probably very unconsciously being tweaked here and there. The quality's improving. My editing skills have obviously been improving as well as we go along. I just like the other day got one a pop filter, which is like big for me in my podcasting world. I feel like over time, I feel like once I get a bit more feedback, that it will slowly start transitioning in and morphing into something a bit different. At this stage, I feel like it's still following the same trend and the same purpose as what it did from episode one. So yeah, it's been very, very well received at the moment. So I think I'll just continue with the momentum that it's been gaining.
Yeah, certainly. It's working. You're having fun. It's you know, the people are enjoying listening to it. It's definitely a show worth checking out. So I definitely would encourage you to just keep on keeping on. And like you said, I mean, you're going to notice, you may not notice one episode to the next of some of those subtle little tweaks and things that you're kind of, you know, your delivery improving or your whatever, just some of those different little things that don't stand out from one episode to the next. But when you get to, you know, episode 50 and you look back on episode one, you'd be like, oh my gosh, like things are way better. And you get to episode 75 or 100 and you look back on episode 50 and it's like, oh wow, that's changed and this has changed. And so, yeah, I mean, just keep on keeping on. And as long as you're enjoying it and people are listening, I mean, you know, I'm obviously biased. I'm kind of on this whole podcast thing myself, but I think there's always room for more cool stories, more interesting folks to share their stories, to get those voices out there. So I certainly wish you nothing but the best continuing forward with that.
And I think if like the way I see it, if it's working for me as well, like if I'm doing these interviews and we go through someone's story and as soon as I hit like stop recording, then I'm just like, wow, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. And it gives me like a different amount of energy throughout the day, as long as that's continuing to happen. And it's still, I feel like the listeners would have that same sort of effect. Then I don't think there needs to be any real major change. But yeah, like I said, like you were alluding to before, as long as you're still having fun and you're still creating some energy from it, then just continue with it, I think.
Yes, totally agree. And you know, like I said, keep on keeping on. So Brody, as we're getting to that point of wrapping things up tonight and shutting it down a little bit, I feel like we keep going for a while, but at some point we gotta put a bow on this thing. I enjoy ending the episodes these days with what I call a philosophical question, which is something that's kind of like that introductory question, fairly short, but allows you to kind of answer it any way you want. So you can make it a long answer, short answer, something in between. But this is where we'll kind of wrap things up for today. And I'd just be curious. You know, at this point of being a runner for a few years now and kind of, you know, dabbling in triathlon a bit and getting back on the trails a little bit and just kind of the different samples that you've done as a runner so far, what keeps you getting out the door and getting after it on a regular basis? Why at this point in your running career, do you still run? Why do you run at this point in your life?
I think you get a certain amount of energies from running, and it sort of satisfies a lot of different aspects to what it means to, like, you know, be alive. And I think there's the nature aspect. I feel like it feels good within your body. Like after a good workout, you get these endorphins. It sets you up well throughout the day. So if you do a morning run and then you go to work, you've just got this different attitude about you, a different sense of like, a different purpose. But then there's also that community aspect of things and like that social aspect. So if you're going for a run, like I run with my brother quite often, with my sister sometimes, running with mates, running with community during an actual race. It satisfies all those different aspects. And I feel like it's those internal drives and those external motivations, all the things combined, that's what keeps you stepping out the door and doing it again. And I'm a little bit motivation driven as well. So obviously having those goals, seeing how you're improving as a runner as well, that's another internal motivation that keeps that sort of passion alive.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think all of us have a few different reasons that we keep going. So I'm glad that you didn't just stop at the first one, but kind of share that you get a little bit of that internal drive too. I think there's a lot of folks that can relate to that. So
absolutely.
Guys, once again, if you haven't checked it out yet, Everyday Running Legends is the podcast. EverydayRunningLegends.com is the website. All the past episodes and stuff are there, so you can obviously find them. We'll have my episode linked up if you want to hear me on the other side of the microphone, and me and Brody obviously just switched places for that one, so you can check that one out as well. And on the social medias, on Twitter, on Instagram, same handle both places, at ERL for Everyday Running Legends Podcast. ERL Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And once again, disruns.com/609 is the link for the show notes. We'll have everything linked up there. So, Brody, thank you for taking the time. Thanks for, like I said, returning the favor. And we had one on your show. Now we have one on my show. So appreciate the time and making this work out. And like I said, wish you nothing but the best going forward, both in the running and the podcast and everything else. Looking forward to staying in touch. And who knows, maybe we'll do this again on one or both shows at some point again farther down the road.
Thanks, Danny. It's been good fun.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Brody and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know, what stood out to you from today's episode of the show? What was your takeaway, your aha moment, something that we talked about that really resonated with you more so than the rest of the conversation, which hopefully you found interesting and enjoyable to listen to? For me, it really came back to what we talked about towards the beginning, and the idea that Brody kind of had to learn the hard way the value of doing some easy miles and not pushing every workout, every training run, every time he got out the door to push to go faster or farther, things like that. Like he said, not trying to get a PB every time, because that's about the surest way to lead to some type of overuse, injury, wear and tear, breaking your body, breaking down that there is in our sport. And clearly that's not the ambition, I don't think, of any of us. And none of us run to try to get hurt, right? We want to get faster. We want to run farther. We've got the goals that we're working towards. But sometimes the surest way to get there is to not crank it to 11 all the time, to not put the pedal to the metal with every single run. Yes, that might mean that you're not pushing yourself quite as much as you could, but the odds are that that's going to allow you to string together months and months and hopefully years and years of consistent training together without having to take a serious break because of injury, without pushing your body to the point of breakdown. So in the long run, in the next 4 years, you're going to be much farther ahead by not training too hard, by not pushing your body to the point of breaking down, than you would if you pushed real hard, broke down, took time off to recover, rinse and repeat. The surest way to take two steps forwards and two steps back is to constantly be pushing yourself beyond the limits, pushing too hard, training too hard, running too much. That's not the best way to make long-term progress in our sport. And quite frankly, I don't think that that's the best way to make long-term progress in just about anything. So slow and steady. You've been hearing that fable since you can probably about remember. And it certainly rings true when it comes to progress for us as runners. Slow and steady. You don't always have to push hard. And sadly, that's a lesson that a lot of runners have to learn the hard way. So, I try to preach it as much as I can and remind everybody, remind you guys, remind folks on social media, in the Facebook group, wherever, that it's beneficial to slow down a little bit, to not push it every single time. And I hope that if you've had to learn that lesson the hard way, hopefully you've seen the light now and you can be an evangelist as well. You can help spread the word, spread the message that slow and steady, push it hard once in a while, but slow and steady for the most part is a pretty good tactic, a pretty good way to reach those running goals. And if you're not sure, if you don't believe it, then let's talk more. I'll fill you in. I'll give you the scoop. I'll show you the science, all that good stuff. And hopefully we can get you, we can convert you. We can make you see that maybe there is a different way than just hammering it hard all the time and always playing with fire and risking that today's going to be the day that I push just a little bit too much and wind up injured and have to start back from square one. Because that's ultimately, as a coach, that's what I try to avoid. As a runner, that's what I try to avoid, is keep moving forward all of the time. But anyway, that was my takeaway. What about you? What stood out to you from this episode? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And of course, you can head over to the show notes for this episode and leave your comments, thoughts, takeaways, feedbacks there as well. DizRuns.com/609. Once again, thanks to DKMS for their continued support of the podcast. DKMS.org is the website, and you can text the word AMAZING, A-M-A-N-Z, A-M-A-N-Z. Come on, Diz. A-M-A-Z-I-N-G to 50555 to get more information and to get yourself the swab kit, and you can join me in the database. And who knows, maybe one day there'll be a match that maybe there is right now. Somebody that's waiting for you to be their lifesaver, potentially. And you can make that happen through DKMS. So thank you once again, DKMS. And thank you guys once again for continuing to support them and support other sponsors of the show as well. Because that keeps them encouraged. It keeps them wanting to be a part of the show, which helps keep the lights on and helps to keep the show going. So with that, we'll go ahead and wrap this thing up for today. Thank you guys for listening. As always, appreciate you guys for taking the time, for giving the attention, for letting me invade your headspace with my voice and the voice of today's guest, Brody, and all the various guests that are on the show. I know that there's more podcasts out there than you can shake a stick at, and more coming every day. And I appreciate that you've given me the chance to hang out with you, come along with you on your runs, running errands, doing whatever it is you're doing. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your attention. Until next time, please be well. Take good care. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk soon. Take care, guys.